Hi, folks. This week's podcast is brought to you from beautiful Minneapolis. We are still living among boxes, but are enjoying our new home and getting to know a lovely city, paddleboarding, running around the lake, and enjoying a lovely summer. So thanks to all of you who have sent words of congratulations on the Drip acquisition. We are grateful to have such a supportive community among our podcast listeners. This week on the podcast, I am talking with Zach Kasson. He is a listener. He sent me an email a couple of weeks ago about some of the struggles that he's been having with self-confidence as he is in the midst of doing a startup that's not necessarily going very well right now. So Zach and I talk about confidence. We talk about depression. We talk even a bit about some of the scarier moments that he's had where he's felt like very hopeless and like a total failure. And part of this podcast is my encouragement of him to reach out for support and for help. And I really like this conversation because I think these are the conversations that I find most meaningful. Zach is pretty open and honest about how hard things are. And one of the things that's really important to me in my life is coming alongside founders who are feeling like Zach is and doing whatever I can to support and provide help and recommend resources. So if you are resonating with some of the struggles that Zach is describing in this interview, please don't ignore that. Please reach out, whether it's to me or to another mental health professional or to a mastermind or to a friend or to a partner or to a spouse. This work is really hard, and being a founder is really hard. Being the family member of a founder is really hard. So there's a growing community of people who are open to talking about these struggles and working together to minimize the unnecessary distress that might go along with this kind of work. Thanks for listening, and especially thanks to Zach for being so open and honest about some of the struggles that he's having.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Wine.
You know, this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life. Zen founder.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode.
Okay, so I am here talking with Zach Kasson, who is a listener who sent an email with a question about confidence and the role that confidence plays in the success of entrepreneurial venture. So Zach, maybe give us a little bit of an introduction into who you are and what you've been working on.
Sure. So I'm a developer. I've been doing web development since about 1995 in one form or another. So I can legitimately say I was on the feasibility study for DIRT, or possibly You Kids Get Off My Lawn. And last couple of years, I've sort of alternated between being a contractor, with had some ups and downs, unfortunately, a few too many downs, and trying to do some product work. My latest product is called Square Target, and it is a marketing tool for an audience finding tool for Instagram. And lets you do things like power search and analyze audiences and things like that. And what has me frustrated is the rate at which people are signing up. It's just trying to get that initial audience and things like that is just very frustrating. And then today I sort of realized that something that I had to tweak what I was doing, because a feature I'd implemented actually violated some terms of service for an API. So I quickly pulled it out. So it hopefully won't get me in any trouble. It's not there anymore, just in case anybody's listening. But, you know, it's sort of that whole, in order for this to work, I must have this many paying customers at a certain time. And how do I get from here to there just seems really scary sometimes.
How long have you been working on this?
So I was working on this for since about March, April-ish. And I was working on a prior project before that, which also didn't go anywhere because it was just too complex for one developer.
So you're really in the slog. You're in the first 9 months.
Yeah, I'm in the slog. And unfortunately, one of the reasons I'm in this slog is I was working a contract job, which fell apart on me, just mostly due to my own. Well, there was a lot of things, but a large part of the blame goes to me, let's be honest. And so that's, you know, I've had a couple of failed contracts and then a couple of product ideas that, you know, right now I've gotten 50 or so people signed up for trials. So I feel like there's some reason to be optimistic. It's not like nobody's interested. It's just, how do I go from 50 trials to enough paying customers to actually pay the rent in a reasonable period of time? And I think the answer is find a day job. And
right. It might take longer than.
Yes, it will. It will.
Then you can sort of float on it as your source of income.
Yes. Or a complete lack of income is the case, maybe.
So just in your, you know, your kind of brief introduction of your product, you talked about a couple of, in your words, like failed contracts or products that you were working on that didn't really gain enough traction. So it sounds like you're coming into this venture with a pretty acute sense of the things that have not worked in the last couple of years.
Yes, I've had a rough couple of years, to be blunt. A couple of contracts did not work. Like the high point of it, I worked at a startup which failed, but it failed for reasons that had nothing to do with my coding. The next round of venture funding never showed up, basically. It was completely irrelevant to me either way. I should also note that I suffer from some level of depression and I'm on antidepressants, as well as being somewhere on the autism spectrum and having ADD. So I've got all different things going here.
So you got a lot going on in terms of your emotional life and the kinds of data that you're taking in from your environment that is informing the way that you do your work.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, it doesn't help that you go on Instagram or whatever, which is my social media of choice these days. If you type hashtag entrepreneur on Instagram or anywhere, it's, the whole entrepreneur thing where everything is sunshine and rainbows and, just work harder and it'll all be fine. And of course, that's there's some truth to that, but there's also a lot of not truth to that, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So it sounds like you keep at it, you keep coming back to this, to different entrepreneurial endeavors. You keep coming back to wanting to be able to be your own boss and have a product and those kinds of things. But there's a lot of discouragement on that path.
Especially since even some of the things on Sharp to the Rest of Us, which I listen to religiously, people talk about, we started and we had, a mailing list of 3,000 people on it. And it's like, okay, how'd you get the 3,000, where did the 3,000 people come from? They didn't just magically appear. So that piece of it is you write a blog post, you put it up there and 6 people read it, and that doesn't help. So it's sort of the whole trying to figure out how to get that initial momentum is really hard.
In the midst of the struggle for momentum, and I'm not the Walling who's best able to sort of talk about the technical or marketing skills of how to get that momentum, but just how are you feeling as you are kind of pushing a boulder up a hill?
It's very up and down. On Thursday last week, which is the end of the work week for those of us here in Israel, our work week is Sunday through Thursday, there was one point in the morning where I was literally in tears and about 5 minutes away from considering walking or driving over to the hospital here in town and checking myself into the psych ward. And then a couple hours later, a potential contract came up. So it's very, very roller coastery.
Yeah. What was going through your head in the midst of the tears and the...
I am a total failure. I do not have a way to pay the rent. Everything I touch goes to hell. And, that's... I'm sure I'm not the only one out there who feels this, which is one of the reasons I'm doing this. And, it's scary. Like you, I have kids, 4 of them, although 2 are adults. 1 turned 25 today, actually. So it's the, can I pay the rent? What do my kids think? I'm sure they'll be completely oblivious. They'll still look up to me, but, it's tough. It's the whole, this is really hard, and it runs in the family. I know my dad suffers from depression. Both my parents have suffered from depression at various points.
You just kind of have to sit down and wait it out.
Yeah. And of course, it does horrible things for your job hunting ability or ability to hunt for, whatever work or whatever. If you have no self-confidence, it kind of presents itself when you go for an interview or make a pitch, right?
What does self-confidence look like to you? What does it mean to you?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it means just the sort of gut thought, the thought in my gut that I can actually make this work, that I can get from here to there, maybe with some help, but I can sort of do it. Without that, it's just like when you don't think you can do it at all, it sort of just gets very overwhelming because it's like, I could write this next bit of code, I could build this next feature, I could write this next marketing email, whatever it is. But if you don't think it's going to work, it's kind of hard to motivate yourself to do it.
In your more rational moments when you're feeling a little bit more even keel emotionally, do you like logistically, legitimately believe that your product can be successful?
You know, having sat down and sort of, I think it can be. Right now, the problem is, and I'm sort of setting up some training classes in Europe for the next few months as well to supplement my income. You know, right now, at the rate it's going, if I could work on it part-time, you know, evenings and weekends while having something else to pay the bills for about 8-9 months at the rate it was going, I think I could get it to the point where it might be able to pay my bills. But unfortunately, I think I had some overly optimistic assumptions when I started it of how fast I could acquire customers. And that was the killer thing.
So the timeline that you had mapped out doesn't look feasible based on just the rate of customers.
Yeah, I mean, if it had been a two-person operation where you had myself doing the development and somebody else doing some of the sales and marketing or something, maybe that would have been different because, you know, my problem is I've spent 20 years as a developer. I've not spent 20 years as a salesperson and marketing person. And, you know, I've learned enough skills to be dangerous, but that's about it. And so that I think could have been new, but I think it just needs a longer runway. I think it needs a 12-month runway to get going. And so the question is how to create that 12-month runway.
How to adjust your timeline and still pay the rent.
Yes, unfortunately, right now, a couple things I did last year consulting-wise went south, and I ended up worse off than when I started, which was not the intent, but sometimes that happens, which also doesn't help with self-confidence, because it's like, I don't have self-confidence in the product, but I also don't have self-confidence in myself necessarily in the other side of things.
I think one of the hard things about, you know, kind of this conversation is parsing out what is a like real strength or weakness. It may be that you're recognizing some relative weaknesses in your marketing ability or in your ability to kind of manage the business components of a consulting firm. You can be a kick-ass coder, but there's all of this other stuff that goes into being successful either as a consultant, as an entrepreneur. So I guess I'm wondering if part of the lessons of these last year are these things that like maybe you could do some more learning in or have a more support in, have a coach or a consultant that helps you figure out how to be better at the learning or the business portion, I guess.
No, that's completely correct. Yeah, I mean, the business portion, I think what I need is either a coach or a partner. I mean, I've heard some of what, you know, Rob and Derek and how they, from the various podcasts, how they work together. And it seems like they complement each other well, at least from it's the impression I've gotten from on the other end of the podcast. And my father, who was a retired scientist, had a guy who worked with him for 40 years who complemented each other well. So I think somebody else who can sort of keep me on track and sort of pick up some of the things I'm not good at and lead me to the things I am good at might be a good idea. I just need to find that person.
I think, you know, when you described your really low moment, you use the language of being a total failure. And yeah, like it's this all encompassing truth with a capital T about yourself, and it's fixed and permanent and never going to be different, right? That's how it felt in the moment.
Sure did. There was a time last week, I live in a high rise building, and I was thinking about going up to the roof to do some astronomy, because if you're not going to drive, it's sort of a reasonably decent place to do it. And, you know, it's a 22 story building or something. And I just had this thought through my head of maybe that's not a good idea. I certainly don't think I would have done it, but jumped off of the roof. But it seemed like let's not tempt fate at that particular instant. And that's kind of what's scary. You know, it's kind of scary. You don't want your head going there.
And that's a really scary way to feel.
Yeah. You know, I got kids. I got a family. I got genetics that say I should live to be 105. I'm actually not kidding about that part.
So don't screw that up. Come on.
Yeah, don't screw that up. You know, the number of relatives on various sides who've lived past 100 in my family is truly frightening.
I mean, what does it mean to really try to shift your thinking from total failure to like, hey, there are things about this business that I'm not good at right now?
That's a good question. I think what I need to do is, instead of trying to work 40 hours a week on the product, I think I need to drop that down to one day a week and spend the other 4 days a week working on immediate short-term revenue, because the rent has to get paid.
Sounds like a little bit more financial stability will alleviate a lot of your anxiety.
Yes, it will. When I don't have the, 16 creditors calling me going, where's our money? It will certainly help. One of my medium-term goals is to get completely out of debt. I was making good progress on it until a couple of years ago when everything kind of fell apart on me.
It may be that you look at some of these, like the stressors that you're experiencing, like debt, having, kids that need your help and support, working on this product. You kind of make a list of all of the things that go through your mind during those low points and maybe pick one to tackle first.
Yeah. Well, right now the income one is the main one. Because I can't do anything about the debt until I have income to pay the debt with. If you don't have income, you can't do anything about the debt, right?
Just like for sake of conversation, like why not get a day job and work for a certain amount of time and bang out some cash and pay that off and then experience less anxiety about it?
Yeah, well, I've actually been looking. Unfortunately, Israeli high-tech is, booming. I'm sure most people have heard of the Israeli high-tech scene. It's kind of crazy. But it's mostly in Tel Aviv. And unfortunately, one thing that's handicapping me is my Hebrew is completely useless. So, I've managed to work here without it. But that makes it harder, too. So I'm kind of in this squeeze-from-all-sides thing. So I tend to do a lot of consulting from Europe. I'm just looking for that right now. But right now, I put in a bid on a couple projects the other day, and I'm working on some training courses, and I'm working on a lot of stuff.
So you're hustling. It sounds like you're doing what's available to you, sort of take care of that particular problem, the debt problem.
Yeah, the debt or the income problem, really, because it's really not a debt problem. It's a lack of income problem that's just causing the debt. So yeah, I'm hustling. I'm doing all those things. And unfortunately, my skill set as a programmer doesn't quite line up with what most Israeli companies actually want, which is kind of frustrating.
So being in Israel, as much as you love it there and it's home, it does complicate your professional life a little bit.
It does. It does. The language is a problem. The cost of living here is crazy. I mean, it's not as high as San Francisco or London, obviously, but it's the salaries are much lower. So you kind of get squeezed in a bad way. I suspect San Francisco is still worse, but I've never actually tried to live there, so I wouldn't know.
So when we come back to your loose definition of confidence, it sounded like confidence for you is the kind of general assumption that you'll be able to pull it off, that it will work out, that you have the skills to make something work out.
Yeah, that is correct. It's that, do I have the general skills to do the things that I want to do? And some cases I do and some I don't. The truth is, over the years, I've accomplished quite a lot. I've written two books for O'Reilly. Neither of them are particularly recent, but if you type my name into Amazon, you'll find them.
So you've pulled things off before. Like, you have a set of successes.
I have a set of successes. I've pulled things off. And, my programming skills have been getting better recently. I've been playing a lot with a lot of advanced programming stuff that is more appropriate for a different podcast, but yeah, so there's all that. I have had successes. It's just the last few years have been tough. It's just a question of just trying to get that first bit of momentum going so you can feel like, okay, this thing is going to actually work.
I understand what you mean, but I think also one of the dangers of that is that especially for how bad you've been feeling lately, like you're tying your mental health to, the number of Instagram folks you can get on board quickly. And that's not a wager that I would make.
No. It's like if you're playing poker and you suddenly look down and discover that not that you have a really bad hand. It's just, you don't even actually have cards at all. It's like, hold on. I don't have cards here. What's going on? Like I said, I think I've come to the conclusion that the Instagram product is going to switch to being a 1 day a week project while the other 4 days a week go to hustling out for consulting and training opportunities.
How do you keep yourself sane while you're putting that together?
The training things?
Yeah, you're going to have a couple weeks, months of pulling together some consulting and training and putting together a set of activities that will provide some income for you.
Yeah, how do I keep myself sane? That's a good question. I think lots of to-do lists. And I think the answer is, you know, if I can get 4 people to sign up for the class I'm teaching in Berlin in September, hopefully. I'm still waiting on the dates to finalize for the venue. But if I can get 4 to 6 people to sign up for that, I'll call it a success. It'll at least pay for itself. And then it's just a question of, I talked to local user group down here in Be'er Sheva.
So you have in your mind this kind of list of professional activities, and it sounds like making to-do lists and brainstorming and getting all those ideas on paper is important.
One of the advantages of living in Be'er Sheva is that dark skies are only an hour's drive. If you're an astronomy geek, that's an advantage. Where my wife and I are going to take the cameras and telescope and stuff out to see the Perseids tomorrow night.
Well, that's the other thing I would say is, you know, you just mentioned your wife, that you might need more support than you're getting. I mean, whether that's from your wife or from a mastermind or from a therapist or from a set of friends, I think in the midst of like this struggle, it would be helpful for you to seek out some people who are honest, but who are also very encouraging.
That's a good idea. I think I may head over to Soroka Hospital, which is the university hospital here in Be'er Sheva, and see if I can find a psychiatrist my health insurance provides and who I can find who actually speaks English, because having a doc, you know.
And I think even if you advocate for yourself, you might be able to do like remote therapy with an English speaking therapist in Tel Aviv or something like that. You know, there's a way around it. You can find a good English speaking therapist or psychiatrist. You just have to fight for it.
Most doctors here speak at least some English, but really how well is kind of a questionable.
So more support may be available. I think, you know, you've had successes in the past. You've had a long string of failures, and that happens. That happens in this life. It happens in the entrepreneurial life. It happens in lots of people's lives. And I think, you know, you have some good ideas about ways to pay the rent and get going on a next product. But I also think it's okay to, like you're doing in our conversation, to say, like, I'm not well. I'm not okay. I'm a little like battle weary and I need some more support. I need things to be a little bit different because you have these amazing genetics and you want to live a long time. And all of the things that are really weighing you down, at least that we've talked about in this conversation, they're temporary. They're not going to be permanent. So finding a way to hold on, be supported, take care of yourself, and just get through the next couple of months until things look and feel a little bit different seems like it's going to be really important.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. I'm trying to put together a mastermind at WeWork called I work every day is out of the WeWork office here. And I'm also trying to find an English language psychiatrist or psychologist is a good idea.
So maybe it's not so much a question of confidence as it is sort of looking at like discouragement and depression and trying to sort of deal with some of those really negative feelings and statements about yourself. I do hear that you, on some level, believe that you'll be able to pull off your next gig.
I've suffered through depression for years and years and years. Not necessarily constantly, but, you know, up and down. And there have been some times that were really bad, some times that were less bad, which is how depression tends to be, as near as I can tell. But during all of it, I always believed I would come out the other side somehow, even if I didn't quite know the how. And, you know, there are other things that are pretty good. You know, my wife and I just celebrated 12 years without killing each other. I'm still married. You know, I have 2 adult children, which I got as a package deal when I married my wife. So 2 adult daughters, 2 grandchildren through one of them. I was a grandfather at 39, which is a little bit weird, but there you go. And now 2 little boys who are 7 and 9 and happily asleep at the moment. So, you know, things are going on. Oh, and a dog. Don't forget the dog. We just moved to a new city, so I don't really know very many people here in Be'er Sheva. That's the next step, is try to find people through WeWork, through the synagogue, through other things.
So more support, a little more patience, some good psychological, psychiatric care, and a lot of astronomy.
A lot of astronomy and a lot of hustle.
There you go.
I was down about 2 weeks ago in the Negev somewhere, and I remember standing on the side of my car And I turned the lights off of the car, of course, and I could not see a single man-made light anywhere, just the Milky Way, horizon to horizon over my head. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
I think those moments of awe really help with some perspective, too.
Yes, they do. They really do.
To experience both beauty, but also like the bigness of the world and how you're a piece of this bigness, but...
A very small piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good. It's good. It'll be okay. You know, it's sort of the, when all else fails, do what Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy says. Don't panic.
That sounds like a great note to leave it on.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you guys so much for the podcast. It's been inspiring.
Yeah. Thank you for, you know, being willing to come on and talk so openly about what's going on. And I just wish you all the best as you continue to work out what this phase of life looks like and get the support you need to sort of be well and take good care of yourself.
In the context of our interview, Zach talked about some pretty dark moments, some times when he was even thinking about taking his own life. And I just want to say again, I've said it in other episodes, but if you are someone who is struggling with those kinds of feelings, you've had them in the past, please take them seriously. Don't ignore feeling that way, or don't think that you just need to sort of stuff that down and keep going. It's a great time to reach out for help, to reach out for some support. And just as Zach described, be willing to go to the hospital, be willing to find a psychiatrist, be willing to try to do something different, because that's not it's not the price that you pay for being an entrepreneur. It's not the price that you pay for being the family member of a founder. So reach out for support, be patient, and know that the world would be much worse off without you in it. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.